Welcome to the Human Beat. I'm Roger Rocca. The Clatsop County Animal Shelter is overwhelmed right now with more dogs and cats than it can hold. But a nonprofit, Clatsop Animal Assistance, is fostering some of the animals and helping all of them with its scores of volunteers. The executive director of Clatsop Animal Assistance is Lily Tollefson.
The mission, as stated, is to rescue, rehabilitate, and rehome shelter pets in Clatsop County. CAA started in 1998, and the kind of driving mission at that time was to help provide medical care for animals in shelter. It's just grown exponentially since then. CAA works not only in the shelter, but all throughout the community of Clatsop County. For both animals and their owners and community in itself.
There are a surprising number of volunteers who are working with your organization. Tell me a little about that.
Yeah, we have currently, I was just looking, 120 active volunteers. I'd say about 45 are active in shelter most days. Volunteer opportunities are vast. It can start with dog handling, cat care. Fostering is one of our most valuable ways to volunteer. Volunteers can work at our adoption events. They can write thank you notes for donations. We have volunteers who sew little security blankets for cats in shelter, and they take them home with them when they get adopted. We launched a new volunteer program, which is our lobby and operations program for volunteers. So they greet the public. They help answer questions about available pets. They issue spay and neuter coupons. So, you know, whatever your kind of skills are, there's a volunteer opportunity at the shelter and beyond.
Well, I want to get in a little more deeply to some of the things that volunteers do, but first let's talk a little bit about the animal shelter right now, because it's in sort of a crisis in the sense that there are way more animals there than it can accommodate. So how are you being involved in trying to ease that?
We can take the word sort of out of it. We are in a crisis. We've been that way. We've been 100 to 140% over capacity since July. So we've sustained incredible numbers for over 6 months, over half of this year already. And kind of, you know, the county and the shelter is there to provide the very basic service for food and sheltering and basic medical care for animals there in shelter. But what CAA does is help enrich the lives of those animals that are there and while they're working through the adoption process, but also help provide alternatives to the shelter. So right now we have, I looked at the numbers this morning, 96 animals in county care, but 47 of those animals are in fosters. So almost 50%. So you think, if we didn't have volunteer fosters, where would those animals go? Where would any of these animals waiting to come into the shelter go? So that's where our volunteers are so valuable. But yeah, the state of the shelter, it is a crisis, and we are trying to adapt. It's a big strain on our finances and energy and kind of compassion, but that's what we're there for. We're there to step up and say, okay, how do we solve this problem that's in front of us, this challenge?
Are there any specific reasons that you know of why we're having an overcrowding problem now?
I
know during the pandemic, the shelter was down to four animals and they were all spoken for.
That's a dream. That's wonderful.
But then things went entirely the other way. People adopted like crazy during the pandemic because they were stuck at home and they, you know, wanted the comfort of an animal and so on. And then afterwards, a lot of those animals returned.
Yeah, some of them, they did. And I think we see a swing back from that. You know, folks were at home and now not being able to be so consistent with their pets, aren't able to give them the care that they need. That's not as much of why we're seeing animals come into the shelter now. It's really, there's kind of twofold. One is economic. So anytime that we see economic challenges in our community, in our country, animals are immediately affected by that too. So the recent cut to federal housing budgets here in Clatsop County in our country, people lost their homes. They lost their ability to pay for that subsidy or have that subsidy. And that very week, animals started to come in as owner surrenders because they had no place to live or no kind of finances to care for that pet any longer. And that's heartbreaking to see that there's no other choice. So, you know, what affects all of us in our day-to-day lives also affect animals. And I think another reason is lack of pet-friendly housing here for rentals. So this is my opportunity to implore landlords and property management companies to please make a portion of your rentals pet-friendly. You know, pet owners are for the most part very dedicated and responsible. These landlords will have a pool of people ready to fill any vacancies because once, you know, you find a place where you can live with your pet, you'll stay.
Right.
And I think too, it kind of prohibits people from wanting to come here if there's nowhere for them to go with their family member. So I think those two, we really do see surrenders coming in with people who it's housing and it's economic.
Right. They've found a place to live, but they can't find a place that they can have
with
their pet.
With their pet, yeah. And I don't know about you, but I'm not. I'm going to wait and find a place where my pet's coming with me.
Well, I know, and our housing is so scarce here that it just compounds the problem because there may not be something available. Well, let's think about a particular animal that comes in. Let's say a dog comes into the shelter. And what happens to that dog? It's taken away from whatever it's used to and put in at least part of the day in a cage in the shelter. What do you do to try to make that better for that animal?
Yeah, and that's the heart and soul of what CAA does, is how do we enrich the life of that animal while they're in shelter care? Because, listen, the shelter is not an ideal scenario, full stop. It's not where we want any animal to live. But it is a place where they can receive medical care and food and shelter until they find their next home. But where CAA comes in is we want to make that experience the best it can be for that pet. So we have a lot of enrichment workshops, both for cats and for dogs. We do a lot of dog training. So all of our volunteers go through dog and cat training. So they learn how to handle animals properly, how to teach them how to sit and do a really good door routine, how to not pull on the leash. So that's great for adopters to know too.
Exactly. It makes
because
it better.
Know that this animal is receiving training before they are adopted. And for me as a volunteer and for all volunteers, it was great for me because I'm learning skills that I can take home too and use with my own pets. One of my dogs is a really big puller, and the skills I've learned just from volunteering at the shelter and working within the shelter is helping my own life, right? But we also, so we're doing, this is really fun. In January, we're doing a big enrichment workshop with both dogs and cats. We do kind of frozen Kongs for dogs so they can lick and have some mental stimulation. We do play groups with dogs, which is so fun. A few times a week, we have anywhere from 5 to 10 dogs get in a big group and play together. It is so good for them, just mentally, physically. But it's also great. It teaches us a lot about how these dogs are with other animals. We can tell that to potential adopters. The dogs can socialize with each other. It's just, it makes them that much more adoptable.
And you come to know over time which dogs play nicely with one another and which have to be separated or with other dogs.
They
and
have
so on.
We have names. There's the rough and rowdy crowd. There's the gentle, dainty crowd. There's the observing crowd, and they're all great. They all have their place.
Sort of like people.
Absolutely.
I mean, some of us make friends easier than others. Some of us are more outgoing, and so on. And dogs are
takes
the
all
same.
Kinds. Takes all kinds.
So. One of the things you do, I know my dogs at home look forward to their walks every day. The walks are so important to them. It's just a period of excitement and anticipation and so on. And that's something that you do for them. How does that work and who does it?
So we have our dog handling program, and that's all done by volunteers. So every single time a dog goes out for a walk, it is a volunteer walking that dog. Our goal is to get dogs out for 3 20-minute walks a day. That is our goal. So if you add up the amount of dogs we have in shelter by the amount of walks we're hoping to give them each day, it's about 30 hours of walking time every single day. 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That's a lot of time, and it's volunteer time. That's why they're so important. And but the great thing about being at the shelter is we're surrounded by forest trails, and it's just a really kind of peaceful place to go. I love walking dogs. It just, like, the time, how often do you get to just kind of unplug and walk out in the forest with a dog and, you know, kind of put everything else aside for a moment and take a breath? It's like, what a gift.
And at the same time, you know you are doing something really important for that animal.
Absolutely. And, you know, dogs and cats, all animals, they live in the present, right? They're mm-hmm. not thinking about yesterday, not what am I doing 2 weeks from now. It's how am I at this very moment? And as a volunteer, you're facilitating joy in that moment. And it's so needed. You can just see for that 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes that you're spending makes a world of difference in the day, of the morning, the afternoon of that animal.
You do other things too. In terms of care for an animal, care takes money sometimes. They mm-hmm. need food, they need vitamins, they need, you know, other things to make them healthy. You're involved in that as well, aren't you?
We are. So CA employs 2 veterinarians and 2 vet technicians who actually work on-site in the shelter. We built a small kind of vet clinic inside the shelter. They're on-site 3 days a week doing wellness checks, vaccinations, microchipping, sometimes minor surgeries. And something I'm really, really proud of that we launched this year is an in-house neuter program. So we're neutering cats, and hopefully our next step is dogs in shelter. So that helps the animals get adopted more quickly because they're available more quickly. We don't have to wait for a vet appointment off-site. It's just much less stress on the animal. You don't have to, you know, put them in a cage and take them to a mm-hmm. vet for the day. It's all done right there in shelter in less than an hour. So CAA employs and pays for all of that service. And it's great too because, you know, with 100 animals in our care, that's a lot of trips to the vet.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of coordination. And so just being able to have really dedicated, talented vet staff with us, and we can go to and ask, hey, is this beyond our scope? Can we handle this here? Do we need to make an appointment? That's so valuable.
And to be clear, you're very firm about wanting animals to be neutered so uh-huh. that you don't yeah. have more unwanted animals.
Spay
that,
and neuter,
right.
please. Yes, there are enough animals. Yes, please, spay and neuter.
So what about someone who would like to take part but isn't really up to doing the walks all the time? Are there other things that people can do?
100%. Yeah, there's a myriad of things. You know, cat care is a great way that's not as physical. Also, just coming in and sitting in the cat room for your afternoon and just letting a cat cuddle on your lap. I mean, what's better than that? It's so calm. And it is so incredibly important for them. It helps them socialize. It brings down the stress level.
Let me ask, if you're into cats and that's what you want to do, what would your typical work shift be like at the animal shelter?
So the cats are broken into 3 shifts. So it's an AM, afternoon, and PM shift that covers feeding, cleaning some litter boxes, socializing with the cats there. And it's really kind of 2 members of our volunteer crew at a time working together with caring for the cats in that way. And so dogs are a little bit different. We also break down our kind of AM, afternoon, and PM walks, but it's more flexible when you can come in and walk one dog if you have the time. A lot of people are there for 3 or 4 hours and spend their afternoon walking dogs, but that way, you know, just come in, pick up a leash, get a dog out anytime you'd like to, or join in a play group. Those are always really fun. We also have had a uptick of puppies into the shelter this year. It's been pretty remarkable. Puppies are very cute, but they are a lot of work. So even just sitting in the play yard, sitting down with the puppies and just letting them run around and snuggle on you, that's a volunteer opportunity as well.
You have dog walker classifications, don't you? These aren't the names of them, but sort mm-hmm. of beginner, intermediate, and pro,
yeah.
in a sense. So you match people up with the dogs that they can handle.
Correct. So they're called levels. So a dog is assigned a level and a volunteer is assigned a level. And so your level of volunteer and dog handling will then match the level of dog. And a lot of that, it has to do with sometimes it's size of the mm-hmm. the animal. And it's, you know, we have a 130-pound Rottweiler, 110-pound Great Dane. That's going to take a handler who is a bit higher on the levels. But also some of it can be behavioral. We can have dogs that are very on-leash reactive. So if a car drives by, they'll jump at it. And mm-hmm. so we want to make sure that for safety reasons, our volunteers are matched properly with the dog levels there. And we also instituted this year a really kind of in-depth training program. And so any volunteer who comes goes through an orientation and then dog training specifically with our dog trainers. So they learn how to get an animal out of its kennel safely, how to walk it safely, and how to work with some of the kind of behavioral issues that we'd like to work on with each dog if they have them. So yeah, safety first, right, for both animal and volunteer.
Even just spending time with one of the animals is important, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, and that's what I like to do. And I oftentimes see this where, like, walking is one thing, right? So you're out and you're getting kind of that energy out. But then just kind of sitting for a little while and just having a little physical touch. We have, like I said, we have play yards and gazebos where you can just take an animal and sit for a bit and just kind of give them a brush or give them some pets. That's so important as well. It's just that physical connection and socialization that they need.
I got to experience that a few years ago when I adopted out there a dog whose name was Greta. But before I did, I visited her about three times. Mm-hmm. And we sat out in the outdoor pen and just hung out together and got to know each other, and she discovered on one of those times that if she brought me a stick, I would throw it for her.
Best friends, well, right away.
And, you know, there was the bond that lasted the rest of her life. And she was a wonderful dog. And I think they're all good dogs. Some of them pull, some of them do this, some of them are reactive. But it's a result of what they've been through.
Absolutely. And they're all so eager to please isn't the right word, eager to become better and willing to participate in, hey, we're going to work on sit today. We're going to work on not pulling today, loose leash walk, we call it. And yeah, they're eager participants in that process.
Well, when we started out and we're talking about the crisis at the animal shelter, you talked about fostering. Talk to me about fostering. What's involved in that and how does someone do it?
So, you know that it's the kind of cliche or the adage that fostering saves lives. Mm-hmm. That is 100% accurate. Like we talked about earlier in this interview, is that 50% of animals in our care right now are in foster homes. So without those fosters, where would those animals be? We don't have the ability to take them in. So fostering can look like, there's a different iterations, myriads of fosters. A big portion of our fosters is folks will foster a cat or dog for medical reasons. It could be after a spay or a neuter surgery. It could be because an animal has immunodeficiency and a shelter environment is not conducive for them. And those can be for a few days to a few weeks. The spay surgery normally takes about 10 days to recover from. The animal is spayed, goes right into foster, and then recovers in a quiet, kind of peaceful environment. So that's a limited amount of time. We also have, and we've talked about how many more puppies and kittens we have. We used to have, there used to be like a kitten and puppy season. It would be spring, summer. Mm-hmm. That's not true anymore. It is all year long, just litters of kittens and puppies. And so we have fosters who will take in a litter of kittens or a few puppies from a litter and have them in their homes until they're ready to be adopted. And it's so good for the puppies for socialization. And again, it's, a shelter is a stressful environment and they're so young and they haven't been vaccinated yet. So just being in a home is necessary
right.
for them. And it's fun. I mean, you get to spend a few weeks with the puppy before you send it off to when it's ready to be adopted. So that's a different type of fostering. There's also a long-term foster. If an animal is involved in a court case, we have a few of those now where the foster, it's, the owner of the animal is not able to possess it and the county is in charge of its care at that time. It could be months, it could be years. We do have a few pets with us that are going on a few years now in a court case. And so very dedicated and incredible fosters are looking after that animal in the interim.
What are the expectations of a foster? If somebody's thinking about fostering but is a little concerned they're going to get into something that they, that they're going to be overcommitted to, what do you expect of a foster?
Yeah, we want to be really respectful and supportive of our fosters because of how valuable they are. So we have a foster care coordinator for both dogs and cats. So a direct person of contact for all of our fosters who can go to with questions to help schedule vet appointments. The county NCA collectively pay for all the supplies needed for fosters. So food, toys, any of the medication, the vet visits and such while they're in care. We have a big foster manual and foster training. So we want to be as supportive as possible. We also, because we are all so kind of connected, if a foster ever needs to go out of town for Christmas, we'll all jump in and help during that time. And that is happening now because we're in the holidays. But so we want our fosters to feel really committed and also understand that it is okay if it's not going to work and maybe a foster's in your home and it doesn't get along with your cats. And we will change that and make it work. It needs to work for our fosters ultimately. So there's a lot of support there that surrounds it, both financial and emotional too.
You also have a program that's kind of new to me that I'd like to know a little about, the Home to Home program. What is that?
So Home to Home is actually its own separate entity. It was founded by a woman who is an executive director of a shelter in Idaho. I actually met her earlier this year. The kind of purpose of Home to Home is for owners who are needing to relinquish a pet and people who are interested in adopting to have that process happen directly between each other and keep the shelter and any county or adoption process totally out of it. So it's Home to Home exists to keep animals from coming into the shelter at all. Mm-hmm. So let's say you're moving overseas and you can no longer keep your pet with you. You'll put it on the Home to Home website and other vetted owners will say, hey, I'm interested in meeting this animal. And then the owners, the previous and the new one, communicate entirely on their own. So it kind of keeps the shelter and CAA out of that process and keeps the animal from having to come into shelter care. And it's we suggest that over and over and over for folks who are in need of relinquishing their animal and hopefully taking the shelter out of that step.
Well, this and the other things we've talked about are something that people can learn more about on your website, mm-hmm. which is Clatsop Animal Assistance .org.
Correct.
And I would say that on the About page on that website, there is a wonderful video where you are introduced to some of the people who are volunteering and what they do and how it is for them. And it's a delightful thing to watch.
And I will just say, like, if you are interested in volunteering, it is such a supportive and friendly, joyful community of volunteers. It's one of the reasons why I got hooked right away is you're just surrounded by people who just truly care and are dedicated. And just to be able to spend your time with a group of people like that is a gift.
There is a certain spirit about that group that I've noticed out there.
We have a good time. Amidst all of it, we really are. We find a lot of peace with each other.
So if somebody is interested in volunteering or learning more, what would their avenue be for finding out more?
Absolutely. So they can go to our website, clatsopanimalassistance.org, or the county website. There's a volunteer application on both. It's the same application. You fill out a volunteer application and attend a brief orientation at the shelter. You can schedule that orientation right inside that application itself, and then kind of learn about how the shelter works, and then you come back for your first training, be it with cats or with dogs, and then just kind of learn how we operate, and then off you go. You're volunteering. If you are interested in fostering specifically, you can email foster@clatsopanimalassistance.org, and that will go directly to our foster coordinators. Onboarding a foster volunteer is a bit more streamlined of a process, and so it's, you won't have to go through all of the steps if you would want to walk a dog in shelter, let's say. There are some steps there, but we want to make that as easy as possible for folks to get on board.
Well, to repeat once again, you are a nonprofit organization composed of volunteers, mm-hmm. but you spend money, you buy things for the animals and help take their care. Where does the money come from?
Oh, well, generous donors. We have an incredible pool of people who have been extremely supportive of us for decades, some for just a month, and believe in our mission and believe what we're doing. And we also receive money from grants. You know, not only do we operate within the shelter, but we have a large public assistance program. We provide spay and neuter coupons for folks who want to spay and neuter their pets. Please spay and neuter your pets. But we do discounts on all of that, and CAA covers the deficit there. So we want folks to spay and neuter whatever we can do to help offset that cost. Also, in certain cases, if a person is unable to cover medical cost of a kind of traumatic vet injury that requires the pet to go to the vet, CA will help them, even if they're not in the shelter program, with that medical cost as well. So grants help cover some of that, but really it is donors, and no amount is too small or too big, say either way. But yeah, donors are the heartbeat, and you know, donating your time, donating finances is what keeps us going.
Well, how do we donate financially? How do we do that?
Yeah, so it can be through our website as well. KlatsupAnimalAssistance.org is kind of the best way to do it. There's donation links right there. Also, they can just always email directly if it's donors would like to discuss kind of a direction of a donation. I've noticed also I'm dealing with a lot of incredibly generous, considerate donors who are interested to know exactly how that donation will benefit the work we do. I'm always open to discuss that with people on an individual level. So it's the email for that would be info@KlatsupAnimalAssistance.org or donate@KlatsupAnimalAssistance.org. I'm going to give you a lot of emails options.
They all end with KlatsupAnimalAssistance.org.
We could make up some stuff. But no, really, we want to be you know, as transparent as we can with what our funds do, but also want to work with people who are interested in helping in specific ways.
We're almost out of time, but before we go, let's talk about adoption. How do we adopt? How do we go about the process of adopting a dog, getting to know a dog, and deciding that we, or cat? Mm-hmm. You know, I know you have a lot of cats as well. You can kind of get to know the animal before you adopt, right?
Absolutely, and we encourage that. I mean, it should be the right fit for the animal and for the adopter at the same time. And so the CAA, we are a nonprofit organization that works alongside the county. The county, Clatsop County, is in charge of the actual adoption process itself. They approve the adoptions, they receive the applications. All of our volunteers help with the meet and greets. We help kind of do write-ups on the animals and all of that. And we, as volunteers who are hands-on with them day to day, know them the best. So if folks are interested, it would be the Clatsop County website, which is where all of the animals are, and the link to apply. But for dogs, we do have a meet and greet process. So anyone in the home will need to meet the dog first, and much like you, spend some time in the play yard and sure, go for a walk. And if there are any other dogs in the home, they'll need to meet on site as well, just to make sure that the dogs work together as well. And that's all done with volunteer help. So they'll be there and do the dog introductions. And cats, you can come in and sit in the cat room and just, you know, meet them there on site. But yeah, I really encourage spending a little time, because you know this is a lifelong commitment, the life of that animal, and so you want to make sure that you're going to be right there with each other for the whole time.
Lily Tollison, executive director of the Clatsop Animal Assistance, a volunteer nonprofit organization that does an awful lot to take care of the animals at the Clatsop County Animal Shelter. Thank you very much, Lily, for talking with us.
This has been wonderful. Thank you, Roger. Sure.
This is The Human Beat. I'm Roger Rocca. Thanks for listening.